Cool.
Okay. So Nathan, the first question that I wanted to ask you is, when you're building with voice AI, so I don't mean to sound, say that like an AI, when you're building in voice, if you could wave a magic wand at anything to make it better, easier, faster, less,
Yeah.
what would you be waving the magic wand at?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's a lot of things. At the moment, I would say evals is one of the more difficult things to kind of pin down, and getting reliable ways to assess how well your agent's doing in production is surprisingly difficult, because it's like the models are so non-deterministic, you end up getting a lot of issues that like you wouldn't have expected if you just manually regression test something. So I think just having an eval system where you can test tens of thousands of calls across a broad set of test cases and have that actually mimic what you'd see in production. And like if you make an improvement, have like a simulated test suite for that improvement that you just made to make sure that it actually improves whatever sort of like thing you're trying to measure. But yeah, there's a lot of challenges within eval specifically, just because a lot of the time there isn't like a set metric that you're trying to do. Like there's some examples where like if you want the agent to book a test drive or something, then it's like very objective. Like this tool call was called, did this action actually happen in the back end, is like a very objective thing. But there's a lot of like not objective things that are really hard to actually like put a value on. If that makes sense.
Yeah, is there anything that you've tried, like, and where you kind of got to with that on eval?
Yeah. There's a lot of things. I use this thing called Deep Eval, which is just like a pretty standard PyTest based LM eval framework, but it's not really meant for voice. So we just use it on the transcripts themselves and only deal with like text-based evals. And then we're using this thing called Hamming. That's I think they went through YC a couple years back, but they, sorry.
Well, sorry, I'm just looking them up. Hamming, you said?
Hamming AI. And it's founded by a guy named Suman Yu, but super smart team. But they're like the problem they solve is this like eval problem on voice agents, but it's just like a very difficult problem to solve. So we're implementing them now, but we'll see how much of a lifesaver they are. Hopefully they help a lot, but yeah, there's so many cases to cover, and it's hard to get like 100% test coverage in real life, like in production.
And so just kind of almost like asking the question again. So based on evals and what you kind of have at the moment, if you could wave a magic wand at what you have, what would you change sort of right now?
I mean, there's just a lot of things that we haven't been able to get a good way of testing. So, for instance, like pronunciation issues have been a huge thing recently with a lot of our customers, because like if you're an Acura dealership and you're just implementing our solution, then and like the our system is mispronouncing your dealership name, then it's like one of the biggest, it's like why would you buy the solution? Like it's like embarrassing because it's a bad reflection on them. Like, so it's like how do you test for bad pronunciations in a way that you can guarantee that like the model is going to pronounce things right, because text to speech models like Cartesia are pretty unreliable, and they have a lot of issues that you just can't really like fix. So yeah, I'd say like there's just so many tests that we don't have. So if it, the magic wand would be like, if I could have a metric that we can test against and try to like optimize across the board, that would be like fantastic. Like have a metric for like how well the model's pronouncing, I don't know, like a set of keywords or something. But yeah, there's a lot of things that are really hard to test for. So I does that answer the question?
Yeah, that's really, really valuable. If we were able to like deliver this, and you could kind of test pronunciation and really feel confident in that value that you were getting, tens of thousands of places, and it low, you know, development match production, and how would it change your life?
Yeah, I think most of it would make us a lot more certain of like the guarantees of the system, because right now we have to provide SLAs, and we have to provide like certain guarantees that for a lot of things, like they'll receive the service that they're like asking for. So with these systems, like we can build the most reliable thing, but the fact of the matter is we're relying on external providers in some ways, and we're always going to have to provide, or we're always going to have to use external providers like Cartesia for text to speech, Deepgram for speech to text. So, just having like more confidence that the model is actually doing what you want it to do, and like our voice system's doing what we want it to do. Because right now it's like we manually regression test a lot. So we have a couple engineers whose time is just dedicated to calling the test numbers and just like calling it probably like hundreds of times. So it would just save us like a lot of development time is the main thing. Yeah, in addition to giving us like confidence and everything. But yeah, it's a big problem.
Considerable time saving then, if you could automate that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, it would be, yeah, like easily hundreds of hours a week.
Probably good for your developer retention, I guess. Great task.
Yeah, luckily we haven't had issues with that, but but for sure. I'm glad to be working on it, not having to test it. I'll say that.
Is there anything about this might sound pie in the sky. Is there anything about the world now that makes this more valuable than it was, like, say, a year ago?
Yeah. I think like voice AI in general wasn't really feasible a year ago, just because the models were so much more unreliable that people, and it was so new as well, like people are kind of scared to implement something so different. Yeah, there's a lot of like social reasons why. Like I think people have worries that their customers aren't going to receive talking to AI as well as a real human. So there's always like, I don't know, like with things this disruptive, I think there's typically some like tentativeness in implementing it. So I think like now we're finally seeing the models get good enough where people like talking to them, and people can actually see them solving big problems that they have. So for dealerships, it's like inbound lead generation is a huge thing. And so normally like with car dealerships, a lot of the people calling in, just the dealership team doesn't have enough capacity to actually field those calls. So those people will just go to a different dealership and take their money elsewhere. So I think there's niche cases like that where there's just a massive benefit to having even a simple agent that can at least field those calls and like schedule an appointment. And so I just think that like the models are so much better now that it's possible to have like voice AI that does something useful. Whereas like before with things like structured output, it's like even structured output wasn't like reliable at all. So you couldn't really interface with LLMs as functions. You just kind of had to like hope and sort of like use them more like chatbots. But yeah,
You
there's
said.
been like a lot of, yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted you, Nathan.
Oh, no worries.
I might ask you, sorry, this will be like very loopy. I'm in a for loop basically, but you had like evals as like the number one thing that you would wave your magic wand at.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that would be like, come after that?
Yeah. Just in terms of like the voice stack.
Well, yes, or yeah, well, anything that's causing you a lot of problems right now as a as an entity.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of like small details, but I don't know like how specific you want this to be.
I'd love to hear anything that's on your mind.
Yeah. Evals is definitely the big one. What else? I mean, I think like latency is always a consideration. So how do we everything kind of ties back to evals though, because like you can optimize models, like you can take open source models, quantize them. You can do so many things for latency, but it all kind of like ties back to evals because you can try out like a million things. And then if you know that the performance isn't degrading past a certain percent, then you can like accept the latency gains. Where a lot of the time, like I can complain about latency, but if we had super strong evals, then I could test out, I mean, like as many different methods as I want to reduce latency, and then I can be 100% sure that there isn't going to be some sort of numerical instability in the models, or I can be 100% sure that there isn't some sort of like downstream effect that's being caused by the faster systems. But yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of challenges specifically in the pipeline I'm working with because it was built very non-modularly. So like we have one LM instance that's like hard coded as like this provider, and that provider has downtime, and then we're just kind of fucked. So we have like a load balancer across a bunch of different regions of this same model, but it's like a single model. So it's just like really ugly, and making that modular is kind of like a huge pain because there's so many touch points. But I wouldn't say that's like a problem that I just don't know how to fix or something. It's kind of like a like an annoyance is having everything like hard because it everything moves so fast. Like there's probably going to be a new state-of-the-art LM in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So just having the ability to swap in LMs for each other and just instantiate like a different LM, and then going back to the evals, run an eval to make sure that like your tasks still work properly with a different LM is super valuable. But yeah. Does that make sense as like a second
Sounds.
problem?
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. Where are you currently like learning about building with voice, and what resources are you using?
I kind of just had to fuck around and find out for a lot of it. I'd say the open source community I'm most active in is Pipecat, and I think they have a really strong group of developers that, and I think they have a lot better documentation now, so you may not have to fuck around as much to find out the same amount. But yeah, I think the only way to really do this type of thing is by actually hosting a model in the clouds, or actually hosting a pipeline in the cloud somewhere, and just like at least internally testing it and seeing what happens. Because there's no way, I wouldn't say there's like a great way out there to just like learn about it because it's so new. Like I don't think very much, I would say almost nothing I learned was like from, definitely not one consolidated resource, but it's kind of like you see some like Twitter post about like some weird thing and you're just like, oh, that seems like maybe it would be useful here. And then you try it out and it sucks, or you try it out and it's awesome. But I definitely wouldn't say there's like a consolidated resource, but Pipecat's like the one that I would say would be the closest to a consolidated resource.
Okay, that's really, really helpful. Those are most of the questions that I had, and this is like very, very valuable. One very rogue question. We're putting together some swag for the technical advisory board.
Nice.
What's the best sort of swag?
Dude, I would say hoodies. I'm a big hoodie guy. I like hoodies, shirts, kind of anything. I mean, I would say my go-to is hoodies, but I'd say anything.
Would you want it to say like what kind of like would you want it to say something like about like voice or like technical advisory board or just like our logo? Like what sort of
Yeah,
thing?
what would you actually wear? I think is a.
Oh, I see. I have no idea. I think, yeah, I have no idea what it would even look like. But if you can send me like designs if you have someone, I can like. I think right now I just have like no idea, like
So
what it would look
I'll
like.
ask you to design it.
It's a good focus group. Yeah.
But
I had a few ideas in mind. That's why Jack's asking. I'm just like, yeah.
okay, cool. Yeah. If you have some ideas, like. That I would definitely provide my opinion if you send me some.
Okay, sweet.
I have a quick question. You like, fucking around and finding out has been your adventure and how to actually figure out how to build this stuff and the community. I think like, they do a really good job with a lot of the docs and stuff. I'm wondering, because we're obviously thinking like, as you said, this is super early and like, I think there's an opportunity for us to do some education, and we're just thinking about like the medium that makes sense for people. Are you like, do you like stuff, newsletters, podcasts, video, like a combination of those things? I mean, if we were gonna create some content, like kind of this is the same question as the hoodie question. It's like, what would actually there'd be a chance you'd be like, you know what, actually that is a good, that's how I would like to learn, you know?
I definitely know how to answer this question better than the hoodie question, but I would say YouTube would definitely be a good resource. There's a lot of communities, though. I would say like open source communities are kind of like the gold like thing to interface with other people building this space and have like educational resources. Because when people are first trying to build products, like most people aren't just going to be like, oh, fuck it, I'll spend like 5K a month on some like enterprise voice orchestration platform. Like most of them are going to be like how to build voice AI or something, and it'll come up with like the open source repositories online, like Pipecat or Livekit, and then they join those Discords, they join the Twitters, maybe if they have a Slack, and they'll just kind of collaborate on resources there and learn there. So I'd say like it depends on what exactly you're trying to do. Like if it's to extend your company's reach and get like feedback on a product, I would definitely say some sort of open source community.
Yeah, I think it's like there's two, there's honestly it's kind of like three pieces to this. One is like, for our own learning, what do we wish existed when we were kind of getting into this, right? Like creating that. Second is there's obviously like an audience and community building component for us. But the third is that that all ultimately leads to at some point, hopefully some of these people might want to try our product. But I think thinking way beyond, way before that, because I know with developers in particular, like, it's not like a traditional funnel. Obviously, people just like tools out. They might never come back. You might actually just provide a learning resource that someone who on the weekend is into voice actually finds value in, but they may never need to build voice. They may have a friend later who asks them about it or something. And so I think we really would, if we're going to, and we are going to be creating more content, but it's like, you know, it really has to be valuable. And so how can we actually really teach people about this, you know, or some aspects of this is kind of top of mind. So that's really, really helpful context just on your preferences there. And I think.
Yeah, definitely with the voice stuff, I think the most active communities are on Twitter and Discord in like voice AI groups. But in terms of like general public, it's always different. So like if you're trying to market towards more general public, there's actually a lot of people on TikTok that like this type of content and kind of like absorb AI content on TikTok. But I don't know, it's definitely not my forte, like marketing. So
that's why you're like a obviously getting value from content that's out there. So it's a really good perspective.
Yeah. I would say most of the content I do kind of stay away from. I don't consciously stay away from it, but like, I feel like a lot of it isn't very well informed because it's such a new space. And so people are kind of like experimenting with it, like thinking this thing is cool, but don't really know too much about what they're talking about, which is of course like fine. Like that's like the way it is, but
been down the mines for a while. And so,
So most of the stuff I look at now is like general, like math and machine learning type stuff on Twitter. Or like reading research papers on like specific architectures or stuff like that. But most of it's from Twitter.
What's your like angle? Is it curiosity or like when you read like a machine learning paper?
Yeah.
Curiosity, or you're thinking that it gives you.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, a lot of it's curiosity, which is like tied into I was a math CS and I get technically finance undergrad, but math was like the thing I liked the most. So yeah. I think there's definitely like an aspect of mathematical beauty that I like seeing a lot on my feed, and it just like piques my interest. So yeah, I'd say like curiosity though would probably be like the main thing, like wondering how people built some sort of like technical architecture, how this one type of new machine learning model works. But yeah, which I wouldn't say is like mainstream content for sure. So that's why I think my opinion's a little bit skewed and may not be like as helpful. But yeah.
Any people like stand out that you like to watch on
or like on the like research side? On Twitter there's a couple. Like the first one that comes to mind, his name is Francois Cholet.
Wait, he's like the serious didn't he do, he's like a real researcher, right? Like
he's a researcher. He founded ArcAGI, the benchmark, and he was also the founder of the machine learning package Keras.
K-E-R-A-S.
He works at DeepMind now, but he always has like really good content. But I think that sort of person is the most like captivating for my attention.
Okay, you're going straight to the source. That's wicked, man. Yeah, I think we're coming towards the end. So is it okay if I send you like I've got another Calendly that's just got like a kind of, it can like, if there's a time that would work for like sort of once a month for like sessions. If that's,
yeah, for sure.
Okay, amazing. And we're going to reach out as well with like, so what what we learn as we learn it, and also probably some point to like get your, maybe I don't know if we're gonna get hoodies. It sounds like you've got a strong vote in here, but maybe
I think we should get hoodies
we should
because
get
yeah.
hoodies, your hoodie sizes and stuff as well.
Yeah.
So
Awesome. Yeah. I'll be looking forward to it.
okay. Nathan, thank you so much. That was
Of course.
incredibly useful. And
Yeah.
yeah, we'll try and provide some value to you as well. So thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Thank you all. Have a good one.
Yeah, great to meet you, Nathan.
Yeah, good to
Great to
meet you
meet
too.
you.
All right, bye.
Bye.